Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Luke chapter 9. Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." This is the text. The Old Testament and epistle readings caused me to get a little nostalgic this week. This past Tuesday marked the 18th anniversary of my ordination. And as we read of Elijah anointing Hazael and Jehu and Elisha for their various offices within the kingdom of God, it always makes me wonder, why? Why are they chosen for this task? Why am I, or any pastor, fit for service within the kingdom of God? It's been 18 years. I still can't tell you why. Why am I even fit for any position within the kingdom of God? When the man said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those in my house," we hear Jesus say, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." By this standard, it can be assumed that even Elijah the prophet was not fit for service within the kingdom of God, because after all, he said to Elijah, "Let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." And Elijah was not happy with Elisha. He says, "Well, go back again, for what have I done to you?" Elisha didn't have a great start to his prophetic ministry, at least as it is portrayed there in Scripture. Yet I look at myself and I would probably make the same request, at least. Yet he faithfully assisted Elijah for many years until Elijah was taken up into heaven. Elisha even receives a double portion of Elijah's spirit, as we read later on in Scripture. Elisha had a faithful and useful ministry. He had a rough start, at least from the perspective of Holy Scripture. But all that any of us can ask for is that we are faithful and useful within the kingdom of God. Whatever it is that we do. And whatever it is that we do, we recognize that it's the Holy Spirit. He's the one who is doing all of the work. He inspires us to do good works. He inspires us to be kind to our neighbors. That all flows from Him. And certainly within the work of salvation within the kingdom of God, as Luther says in the Small Catechism, "I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to Him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts of word and sacrament, sanctified and kept me in the true faith." And like Elisha, as I look back on especially the early days of my ministry, I made countless mistakes. Unlike Elisha, as I look at the recent days of my ministry, I still make countless mistakes. Wearing this robe for 18 years has not taken away my sinfulness. Thanks be to God that I have been wearing the robe of Christ's righteousness for 44 years, since the day of my baptism. But I am still a sinful man. But my sins have been covered, just like yours, in the waters of baptism. In our gospel for today, we see the disciples early in their ministry, and Jesus is traveling through the Samaritan villages, and he's not well received because his focus is on Jerusalem, and they think, "Well, you should be able to go and worship wherever you want." And they had their own special high places. They didn't want to acknowledge that Jerusalem was the only place that sacrifices could be made. And so they didn't receive him well. And so James and John asked Jesus, they said, "Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them? Oh, please let us bring fire down from heaven and consume them. Because that would be really cool." But Jesus rebukes them. And they went on to another village. I said earlier that the epistle reading had also caused me to be a little nostalgic, because the words from chapter 5 of Paul's letter to the Galatians, that was the text that I preached on for the third sermon that I ever preached after being ordained up there in Mellon, Wisconsin, as a newly ordained pastor in a little town of 850 people that was completely divided over what to do with the school superintendent. One group was working to get him fired before his contract was up. The other group was fighting to keep him because they were friends with him. And as you looked at who was on which side, you know, those who didn't like the other people or, you know, had other differences chose to use this as a battleground for, you know, their opportunity to fight righteously against the people they really want to stick the screws to. And that's what I came into as a pastor. It was ugly. You had families who had been close friends, I mean vacation together kind of close friends, who would not even speak to one another. And for 3 weeks, every person that I met offered up their opinion on the school situation. And as I'm preparing my sermon that week, I read Paul's words. If you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. The works of the flesh are evident. They're obvious. Hatred, that's what enmity is. Strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions. I warn you that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And in my third sermon ever, I warned them, and I proverbially rained down fire upon them. What just so happened, one of the reasons this is very memorable for me, is because Melinda happened to be in church Saturday night after I had prepared everything, and she was walked up into the pulpit and read my sermon manuscript that I had laid out in preparation for Sunday morning. Now, never before, whether it was when I was helping out at this church in Sandusky, Michigan, my fourth year at the seminary, or on Vicarage, or the first couple weeks in Mellon, never had she even thought about taking a glimpse at my manuscript. She's never done it since. But that night she did. And she spent the rest of the evening contemplating how she can become ill by Sunday morning, so that she doesn't have to be there to hear me rain down fire upon these people. And during the preaching of that sermon, she, you know, I could see her nervously just crumpling and shredding her bulletin. But my message to them was that, and I said it in no uncertain terms, that you cannot control the way that other people act. In fact, you should anticipate that those who are outside of the Christian church will remain in their hatred, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, dissensions, divisions, etc. Paul says the works of the sinful flesh are obvious. However, those are not the works of the people of God. And Paul says those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And many people on the way out of church thanked me for saying what needed to be said, because there were other people that they knew who really needed to hear that sermon. And I was thinking as I was shaking their hand and smiling, saying, no, that was meant for you. Because our church was just as divided as the town was. Now, I've never preached another sermon like that again, and intentionally, because you know, although some good came of it, I mean, one good thing is that no one ever complained to me again about the school situation. And there were phone calls that were made that Sunday afternoon between some former friends who were on opposite sides of the issue, and there were some measures of reconciliation, at least to the point where they would speak to one another, but they weren't vacationing together again. There wasn't any real change. There was no lasting change that came about. Because even though the truth of God's word was spoken, even though the words of St. Paul, they are meant to be a warning to us all, it's not just for those other people who need to hear that. Those words are for you and me. And these words need to be heard. But there was no lasting change because the law does not bring lasting change. There was no lasting change because the gospel was not heard. 2 weeks ago, we saw with the sinful woman as she poured out her tears in true repentance. I'd quoted C.F.W. Walther, who said, there cannot be faith in a heart that has not first been terrified. And I did my best to terrify them that day. I'm sure during that sermon I also said something about forgiveness or grace, but nobody remembered that. C.F.W. Walther also rightly says that the word of God is not rightly divided when the gospel does not predominate in teaching. The gospel did not predominate that day. There is a reason that Jesus rebuked his disciples when they wanted to call down fire from heaven. As we look back on our life in the church, we come here to hear God's law and gospel. We come here and confess that we are poor, miserable sinners, but knowing that absolution is immediate. The grace of God is going to be presented again and again. I thank God, as I look back on the 18 years of my ministry, that it is not for this robe that I work to inherit the kingdom of God. It is for my salvation and your salvation that a different robe has been washed in the blood of the Lamb. It is the righteousness of Christ that covers your sin and mine, that is the only way that anyone is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Amen. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.